Thank you very much, Honorable Commissioner for Physical Planning and Urban Development, for having this chat with us about Lagos and its ownership and identity, and also about the complexities in the historic legacy of Lagos and the more contemporary aspirations for modernity and to be the model megacity for Africa. So I want to start with a simple question about an issue that has raised a lot of controversy in the media. So you have some people, you know, giving Lagos this toga of Lagos is a no man's land. And then you have others saying, of course not, Lagos is not a no man's land. What do you think about this? Is Lagos a no man's land or not?
Thank you for that question. Lagos belongs to some people, and for some people to have that notion that Lagos is a no man's land, I think is a very wrong assumption. If you go back in history to the development of Lagos over time, Lagos developed from an organic place, a unit, entity, and it grew both northwards and except towards the lagoon, away from the lagoon. And you know, there's original settlers in this organic unit we are talking of. But due to urbanization and the rapid growth of Lagos, I think Lagos has developed into a cosmopolitan city that embraces all that comes in. And the way it has developed, it has absorbed everybody that wants to do something in Lagos. Lagos has the capacity to provide for whatever you want. And as a result of this, we've had various indigenes coming in and settling in particular areas of the states. If you go to Ojo area, you have mostly those from the east of the country. If you go to Shomolu, Bariga enclave, you have the Jebus who predominates there. And there are some areas also where you have the Egbas. And also, if you go to our waterways, the Jos and the Lagos predominates here also. But the Lagos as a cosmopolitan state has come to absorb many of these very diverse interests. And by virtue of his waterways, access to many ponds, many areas in the country, also access to some major cities outside the country as a gateway to the country, has the capacity to keep absorbing many of these people. And the way Amana Lagos has grown has allowed everybody to sort of have this sense of belonging that now gives us that impression is a no man's land. They are original settlers of Lagos, and Lagos belongs to those people.
Thank you very much. So another question is about your work now. How you're leading the Ministry of Physical Planning and Urban Development, and I must salute you because it is quite a complex assignment looking after the spatial aspirations of 20 million odd people. So I want to find out how do you go about it, and how do your various agencies go about the work of preserving the historical heritage of Lagos, while also working towards, you know, this model mega city that we aspire to?
Thank you. Let me just say, I'm a very lucky person. As the Honorable Commissioner for Fiscal Planning and Urban Development, one, I have a governor that is open to ideas, who embraces new ideas, who encourages you to think out of the box and make things happen. And he encourages me to hold very tight to the laws governing physical development in the states. And he has always said, yes, go beyond the limits and let's see how we can have a Lagos of our dream. A Lagos, a greater Lagos in line with the team's agenda of the present administration. And that critical factor here is making Lagos a 21st century economy. And for us to make Lagos a 21st century economy, physical planning is seen as the bedrock of development. And secondly, the physical planning has laws and regulations governing its activities. And where there are laws, there should be order. And by virtue of that law, all we need to do is just key into the tenets, the principles of that law. And that's why I said I'm a very lucky person. So all we need is operate within the ambience of that law. And that's why it's like we are getting to where we are. We've not gotten there, and we are gradually pushing. And the issue of preservation of monuments, it's not only about the monuments, it's not only about those areas that are needed to be preserved. You know, there are other things outside historic artifacts. We have our wetlands to protect. We have our floodplains to protect. We have our infrastructure, all infrastructure, critical infrastructures to also protect. And the urban and regional planning law is all encompassing. It's recently we learned is an edit by former Governor Rajiv Fashola, SAN, and which extracted the preservation of historical monuments from the urban and regional planning law. Because I was wondering, looking at that law, it's not there. And place it at the doorstep of Ministry of Tourism. But we have issues there, but there is little we can do other than form adequate synergy with tourism to make sure that areas that are supposed to be preserved as historical monuments or conserved for our heritage should be preserved working together. And there is a conflict here. The Lagos Urban and Regional Planning Law empowers the Lagos State Building Control Agency to identify distressed buildings in the states. And you will agree with me, if most of these areas to be preserved are old buildings spanning several generations in the 18th century, and some of them are still standing, but some of them gradually are giving way. They are losing their strengths, they are losing their posture and their structure. And the agency identified some of these structures for removal. But there is a subsisting edict that says we should preserve them. But the agency may not be aware of those edict, and they will want to do their job. So there is a little conflict here. But as we go on, we want to forge a good synergy with tourism, which we have started. With the Honorable Commissioner for Tourism, we've spoken about some of this, is identifying tourist sites and major areas of interest, cultural and traditional heritage of the states, and some of these monuments to work together. And we actually set up a committee from both MDAs, and the committees have started work. They've been going around to identify some of these areas. And when they submit their report, we should be able to sit down and look at those monuments and fashion out a strategy to preserve them, while also being very mindful of the role of LAPCA in all these things, so that we will not lose our heritage to urbanization over time. And you know, the issue here is some of these properties, developers are all over the place, and they want to take advantage of the distressed nature of these monuments, and the likelihood that they will prevail on government to remove them is very high. But we'll see what we can do after the committee must have submitted its report.
I just want to bring you closer to home. The governor, Mr. Babajide Sanwo-Olu, had expressed interest in the regeneration of Lagos Island, and we have observed that a lot of activity has been going on in that area. Can you tell us a bit about some of the redevelopment and regeneration plans that you have for the Lagos Island area, being the bedrock of Lagos historic built environment?
Like you said, Mr. Governor Babajide Olusola Sanwo-Olu is very mindful of the need to redevelop Lagos, to restore its historical heritage and preserve some of these structures. And he's also mindful that development must take place. And he has been discussing this with all of us and has been asking us to come up with programs for the redevelopment of Lagos Island. And sometimes last year, a lot actually happened in that aspect area of the state that gave the governor some sleepless nights and a lot of concern. And we've discussed this critically. And on our part from the ministry, we have done several proposals towards achieving the team's agenda of government concerning the regeneration of Lagos Island. I think was it some few days ago, he still asked me to come with the general manager, Lasura, to see what we can do about it. And we submitted our proposal. And he has also graciously approved the preparation of a modern city plan for Lagos Island. And that preparation, the key issue in that modern city plan is not only about the preparing a development guide for Lagos Island. The key issue on that in that proposal is the regeneration of Lagos Island. And we need to revitalize that economy. And also, we've also earmarked certain areas within that area for key developmental projects. We also discussed that this week, and we are talking to investors, we are talking to some of our partners who we come up with ideas on how to do that. We're also talking with Future City Nigeria. The British government is also doing an urban regeneration guidelines for Lasura. And the regeneration of Lagos Island is a very critical factor in some of the things we ask them to do for us. So hopefully in the next few months, the government will roll out the regeneration plans for Lagos Island. But one of the major issues, I think, problems we are emphasizing is the indigenous land ownership on that area of the states. We all know Lasura has a lot of property, and some of us believe almost a quarter of properties on that axis belongs to government. But within that also, there are several families who owns land, and they are very mindful of their rights to those lands, and this could be an impediment to whatever regeneration plans we are coming up with. But hopefully, we are talking with them. The governor asked us to start discussion with some of these, identify them and start talking with them, and we are doing that. Hopefully, we should submit our feedback to Mr. Governor very soon. If we can take care of that, I think we should be able to get something good for Lagos Island.
Thank you. And the final question has to do with Lagos being a magnet for people. So people come into Lagos every day, and the migration rate is high, and that is why currently we have a population of over 20 million. So the final question is, what are the things, particularly urban planning and urban development policies and programs that are in place to secure land tenure security and sustainable development, given the challenge of unending migration into the city?
Like I said, the role of Lagos as a subnational is very critical to the development of this country. And also, you agree with me, Lagos is has one of the biggest economy in the whole of Africa. And as a result of this, there are bound to be pressures. There are bound to be movements into Lagos. And people will also want to come in and see what they can do. And you will agree with me, for every minute, every vehicle that comes into Lagos brings in people. And at the end of the day, many of them don't even have any real business coming to Lagos. And the number that comes in every hour.
Prosperity.
Yes, they are searching for prosperity. It's a land of prosperity. So, and they don't have business coming in the first place. They don't know why they are coming to Lagos. But they believe when they get to Lagos, they will make it and things will happen. And most of them ended up being homeless because they don't even know anybody. They don't have a place to stay in. And one thing we've noticed, apart from those who don't have a means that wants to come in, there are people who already had a means of life, who are there, up there, who feels like the initial question is a no man's land. They believe Lagos is for everybody. And they are coming in with investments, which, and I want to say they are welcome. But there is a disturbing issue I've noticed. They are taking over our shorelines. They are taking over our shorelines. They are buying into those shorelines and are reclaiming lands. And lands are more around the shoreline and they are eating deep into the lagoon. There is a problem around banana. Banana is no longer banana again. I think it's like a watermelon now. And the ministry is envisaging a problem into the future. Because at the back end of Banana Island, there is a proposal to have a lagoon highway in the future. I can tell you, when we are ready, when government is ready to construct that road, there may be no land to construct that lagoon highway. People have reclaimed Banana Island so much that they are almost touching the high tension wire that divides Banana and the Lekki phase one. And it's a real concern for us. And
on the, unlawful.
Yes, I want to believe it's unlawful because most of them claim to have their clearances from NIWA. And by the law setting up the activities of NIWA vice service shorelines in every state, NIWA does not have that powers to grant such approvals. And they reclaim and want to regularize with the Lagos state government in line with the 2003 Supreme Court judgment, which vested development control powers in the state. And some get their clearances from waterfront too. But I think that's the right place to go if you, at all you want to reclaim. Waterfront should be at the forefront of that, not NIWA. And on the issue of tenure system, we still know there are indigenous landowners in the states. But the problem here is the rate at which indigenous are giving out their lands. I remember when the blast happened at Abuliado, and we did an inventory of all landowners, allottees in Abuliado. I can tell you about 95% are non-indigenous. And the question is, where are the indigenous? What's happening to their land? And that's what obtains virtually everywhere, especially along the shoreline in Lagos. And But personally, I think it's a deliberate attempt by some people to show up interest in those places and deprive the indigenous of their rights to land.
Thank you very much, sir. The final word from you.
It's a job we have signed on to do to give Lagos a sustainable and livable city. And we'll continue to do it in line with Mr. Governor's team's agenda of making Lagos a 21st century economy. And by the end of the term of this administration, Lagosians will know there is a government they voted for and who has lived by its promise and has delivered a livable environment.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.